How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com, available on the TuneIn Radio app on your smartphone, the Sirius Satellite Radio app, and now, for 60 million subscribers, iHeart.com, the iHeart Radio page, the talk portal. Listen to this show anywhere, every Sunday for 2 hours, talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, and we have so much stuff to talk about today, as usual, including last night's UFC in Brazil. Jose Aldo in the main event, not making short work, but pretty much dominated the Korean Zombie en route to retaining his 145-pound title. We'll talk the most important matches on the show last night, and then we've got a ton of news to get into, including, yes, the first ever review on this program of WWE Total Divas. Debuted last week on E!, also aired on Raw, following Raw, on Monday night. We'll talk about the show. We'll talk about the ratings. How did it do as compared to other shows on the E! Network? And, that's right, a preview for the next episode, which does, in fact, air tonight on E!. And if you want to see this show, you better watch it on E! Because it's no longer airing after Raw. It was a one-time-only thing last Monday night. So make sure you set your DVRs for Total Divas tonight for more in the life of Vincent, the boyfriend of Cameron, who made a scene backstage at WrestleMania, which, believe it or not, everybody, actually happened. That was not a reality show storyline. That really happened. About the only thing on the show that really happened, but still. We're going to talk about that. Plus, the G1 tournament is ongoing in Japan. 9 shows in 11 days. We're going to talk about that with Mike Sempervivi. Raw and SmackDown this week, as well as Impact with the debut of Tito Ortiz. Tito Ortiz debuted on Bellator and then Impact, one right after the other. We're going to talk about that. Plus, BJ Whitmer, an update on his injury suffered at the ROH show last night when he was pile-driven on the apron. We'll talk about SummerSlam, Randy Orton attacked by a fan. So much more news. It's hard to get into all of it. But we're going to do it here on this program, so get ready. Wrestling Observer Live, here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. You can also check us out on the TuneIn Radio app on your smartphone. That is the TuneIn Radio app. Search Sports Byline or Wrestling Observer. You can check us out on the Sirius Satellite Radio app if you're a subscriber, or head to iHeart.com. iHeart Radio. Check the talk portal. Wrestling Observer Live not only airs live every Sunday at iHeart.com, but you can check out the archives of the program as well at iHeart.com. And 60 million subscribers at iHeart.com. And of course, anywhere you are in the world, you can check us out at WrestlingObserver.com. So the most listened to wrestling radio show in the entire world you're listening to right now, so let's not waste any time getting into it. Mike Sempervivi is here on the line, and Mike, the very first episode of WWE Total Divas is in the can. What did you think of this show?
It was not as bad as I thought it was going to be. I just talk about, you know, some faint praise there. I'm not a big reality show guy. I'm not a big E! Television watcher or anything like that. I, you know, I can see about 2 minutes of shows like Keeping Up with the Kardashians or Lohan or any of those type of shows, and that's more than enough for me, usually, in most cases. So this was an experience watching E! For an hour of Total Divas and the behind-the-scenes footage that they had. And I think what I take away from the show most is that there is a very large importance, apparently, coming from WWE on shoot names, as we got plenty of those. And also that maybe Cameron's boyfriend Vincent has maybe got some anger issues, as well as having some eyebrow issues, and he should probably, you know, if he's going to be backstage at events, especially as large as WrestleMania, he may want to get those waxed down a little bit.
Man, we got a lot of Total Divas scoops. For the first time on this program, I'm going to give you the scoop on the titles and themes of Total Divas Episode 3 and 4. It's Ooh. Coming up here in a moment. You mentioned the shoot names, which is kind of funny. The Bellas are referred to as the Bellas, even though their last name is not really Bella. However, the Funkadactyls, Cameron and Naomi, are referred to by their real names. Ariane, anyway, and Trinity. Natalia is Natty. Eva Marie and JoJo are both going by their stage names. John Cena, that is his real name. Daniel Bryan is going by Bryan Danielson. Jimmy Uso is going by his real name. I believe we haven't actually seen a lot of Tyson Kidd yet, so I guess we'll see what happens there. But I believe Justin Gabriel is going by his real name. The big guys, Tons of Funk, going by their fake names. So it seems to be completely random whether they're using real names or fake names on this program. The good news is the show was better than I expected, I won't lie. The good news is the show did 1.34 million viewers, which is good for E. The bad news, I know people like to downplay this, but this is bad news. The lead-in with the Kardashians did nearly 3 million viewers, 2.8 million. And when that show went off the air, they immediately lost 1.5 million viewers. That is a lot of people that turned off E when Total Divas started. Now, granted, it's unlikely, highly unlikely, that they were going to retain the same number of viewers for Total Divas as they did for the Kardashians. But we're talking a show that came on the air at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern. I don't want to say there's nothing on television, but it's not like this was 7 o'clock p.m. or 8 o'clock p.m. So it was a big plunge. The question is not what even tonight's show does in the ratings, but we got to talk 2 or 3 weeks down the road. This show was heavily promoted. The Bellas were all over the place. There were news articles. They were on various TV shows. It was pushed super hard for week one, and they got another 1.5 million viewers after Raw. The female viewership on Raw the night after Total Divas was exactly the same, actually down very, very slightly. So I know I got a lot of feedback from people that, my wife watched the show. Oh, my wife loved the show. Me and my wife watched the show. Statistically, none of those wives cared enough to actually watch Raw the next night, which is kind of the point of the show. So there are some negatives, but the positives are, again, very good rating for E for the debut. And not a terrible show. So we'll see what happens tonight. It is a tango with Fandango. We've read this a million times, but it says here, Eva plans to achieve a winning rank by creating a scheming plan. The Bella Twins take some time off, enjoy a vacation with Brian and John. And Cameron and Naomi are horrified when they experience a wardrobe malfunction. Mike, are you excited for this program?
Sure. Why not? There's nothing else on tonight, right? Yeah, you know what? I might as well, I guess, after watching all the New Japan action that I've seen, a little bit of a mental break won't be that bad of a thing, so why not? And obviously the Divas are very pretty, but I do wonder, I mean, is that really the point of this show, so that the people that watch E and that would watch this show would turn over and watch Raw?
Yeah, that's one of the, they want to make stars out of these girls. And they hope that the women audience on E will become WWE fans.
Yeah, the reason, and I don't, I would disagree with that, just that mentality, because it seems to be when WWE has gotten their best demographic when it comes to women, it's always a storyline. It's not something, I mean, you know, being emotionally invested in the characters, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing or anything. If I'm WWE, and you put this show out there, and I guess the concept was it was supposed to be for the network, but it ends up, you know, you use your synergy and it ends up on E and that anybody watches it. You know, you can't say, you know, anything really bad about it. I don't blame WWE for doing it, but I think if they actually had, like, the Dominic Eddie Guerrero Rey Mysterio storyline, the obviously 97 was big for a lot of different things, but when they've been able to, I think, really attach, you know, have women viewers attach themselves to something or get emotionally invested in something when they want to tune in, it's been historically because of angles, not because of things like this.
Well, they do have a storyline. The storyline is going to be that Natty is she's got a rough life in WWE as the ugly duckling, which, believe it or not, is her role, everybody, which is preposterous. But at the end of the day, she gets the guy. And the finale is her big, wonderful, lovely wedding in Clearwater.
Well, yeah, you know what? Maybe they've done better booking than we've given them credit for. The whole, like, John Cena, Bella thing, and obviously Daniel Bryan and the other Bella. I always get confused here. Is it Bree Bryan?
Bree Bryan, yes.
Bree Bryan, Nikki, John.
So it'd be Bryan Danielson and Bree Danielson, if they were married.
Maybe they've done good booking here as far as setting all of this up for Natty. I guess we'll have to see. Although, I guess it's kind of unexpected that probably the biggest thing coming out of the show may have been Vincent and his attitude. I guess for some reason I'd like to see him square off against Brodus Clay and Tensai.
Yeah, this fella Vincent is the boyfriend of. Of Ariane,
Cameron,
and he flipped out at WrestleMania because actually not at WrestleMania, it was around WrestleMania time. I guess the Funkadactyls were going over their match, and Brodus Clay, you'll find this shocking, alerted Cameron that she sucked. Yeah, can you believe that? She's very upset and cried. And her man, Vincent, who my other buddy, Vincent, astutely noted looks exactly like the heel in Despicable Me. I mean, exactly. He got really mad and wanted to beat up Brodus Clay. Now, if you watch this on TV, your first thought would be, oh my God, this is just ridiculous. What a fake, phony storyline. But no! In fact, this one is 100% legitimate. And people in WWE had heard about it, and a lot of them had heard about it, but they didn't actually see it, believe it or not. Some of them still haven't seen it because they were overseas when the show aired on E! But those that have seen it, Cameron needs all the help she can get because there is a belief, in fact, that she sucks. And she was the one on the Tough Enough show that said the best match ever was Alicia Fox and Melina. And she's the one that got the DUI and then lied to the police officer and all that. So she needs all the help she can get, and this did not help. More on this when we come back from the break. Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio, Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We're available on the TuneIn Radio app on your smartphone as well. Search Sports Byline or Wrestling Observer on the TuneIn Radio app. If you have Sirius Satellite Radio, you can also check out the Sirius Satellite Radio app. And, of course, iHeart.com. iHeartRadio, the talk portal, available to 60 million subscribers. Wrestling Observer Live, free at iHeart.com. And you can listen to the show live every Sunday or replays of the show as well. Live and replay available at WrestlingObserver.com as well. This is the most listened to wrestling radio show on the planet. Since 1998, in fact. And we are talking Total Divas, the first show, which debuted on Sunday. And, Mike, this program, I felt that a lot of the people in this program did not come off likable. And I guess that's kind of the thing on E! You watch it for the train wreck aspect. And my conclusion, I could be wrong here, but my conclusion was that the massive drop after the Kardashians, yes, it was going to drop anyway. Was it going to lose 1.5 million viewers? I don't know. But 1.5 million viewers on E! Switched off after the Kardashians, which obviously means zero interest in the WWE Divas. 1.5 million viewers actually did 1.3. I predicted 1.5. So my feeling is that it was virtually all WWE fans that watched this show, no casual E! Viewers, and we'll see if the WWE fans continue to have an interest in this show. But my question to you is, if you're a casual WWE fan, or even a non-fan, I feel that this show needs to be either a great look backstage at WWE, or it has to be a train wreck in order to be a success. And I felt it was not enough of a train wreck to be a hit, and they didn't show enough of the backstage stuff to be a hit. Again, I could be wrong, but what were your thoughts on that?
I don't know. I think it was a good first one to establish. I guess you don't want to go too over the top, I wouldn't think, with being too train wrecky. I mean, because obviously you do want Natalya to be likable and stuff like that. I don't know. Again, the philosophy behind these shows, I'm not, you know, I know there's a lot of psychology built into them as far as how they, you know, film it and you know, how they, more than anything, it's really how they edit it. But maybe that's why I thought it was better than I expected, because it wasn't such a, you know, catty, nightmarish train wreck of a show where just, you know, everybody's all over the place. And they did, I thought it was, I think for a casual viewer, it was probably kind of cool to see backstage, because obviously, probably the people listening to this show, I mean, we have an idea of what goes on back there, and we've seen a lot of behind the scenes things, and you know, we know what gorilla position is, and we know the size and the, you know, the level that WWE is at. But I think a casual fan probably in a way got out of it grasping how big WWE is and what kind of operation it is. Obviously the nonsense with the, you know, the making the uniforms for the Funkadactyls, obviously there was, you know, high dramatic license taken in that, you know, they weren't done, you know, a couple minutes before they're supposed to go on the biggest show of the year. You know, that's hard to believe, but maybe a casual fan realized for the first time that, wow, they actually do make this stuff right back there, and to see behind the scenes and backstage and to, you know, the enormity that is WrestleMania. I think maybe that some of those, if they did get casual WWE viewers, I wonder if they actually, you know, got some interest in some of that too, in between all the other, you know, personal nonsense going on, an introduction to who these people kind of are.
I think the thing to look for this on this coming show is, as far as what's real and what's not real, my conclusion is that anything that happens to be captured start to finish by the cameras is not real. And anything that doesn't show up on the cameras may in fact be phony. I'm sorry, may in fact be real. For example, the Brodus Clay thing where he yelled at Naomi or Cameron, and then Cameron's boyfriend Vincent got very upset. I mean, to me, even before I was told that this was real, I had the idea that it could be real in the sense that if this were a storyline, you're telling me they didn't have any footage of Brodus Clay telling Cameron that she sucked? Because that would be great television, you know what I mean? But they had no footage of it whatsoever. So that kind of got me thinking, maybe he really did tell her that she sucked. And in fact, that is exactly the case. So I think on this show, anything like Jane Geddes is the female version of John Laurinaitis. And she went up to Natty and was explaining that she's not on WrestleMania, like supposedly right before WrestleMania. And it's like, if you listen to this radio show, you knew Natty wasn't on WrestleMania long before, a week before the show. So that to me was, I mean, that's completely ridiculous to think that was real. And some of the stuff backstage, all the girls.
Well, I think the biggest one more than anything is, you know, we wouldn't know who Eva Marie or Ava Marie or whatever her name is, Eva Mario, whatever her name is. We wouldn't be seeing her right now if she told WWE, nah, you know what, I don't think that hair is going to work for me with blonde, so I just decided to do this instead.
Yeah. I mean, if you watched, listen, I'm not a hairdresser, okay? But I was a wrestler, so I dyed my hair a time or two or 50 when I was in the ring. And listen.
If you say 50, you look more like Eminem.
You know, one time I'd been told that my hair should be bleached. And so I had this kind of bleached, streaked hair, and I was sick of it. So I went to turn it back brown, and I had a friend do it, who actually was one of the wrestlers, one of the wrestler's girlfriends, actually. And I don't know what she did, but she managed to turn my hair purple, trying to dye it back brown. So I had to go in, and I had to have a professional make it brown again. And then immediately when I went back for wrestling, I was told I got to put it blonde again. What were you even thinking? So anyway, that's the life of a indie geek. But the point is, when she was getting her hair done, the exact process on television was she sat down, they started to strip all of the color out, and then they turned it red. There was no point where she was actually a blonde. You know what I mean? There was just the stripped color portion of it. So, again, I don't believe for one second that she was ever going to dye her hair blonde. It was always going to be red. And I don't know. I got no reports that this was actually real, and I just cannot possibly believe it, because there's no way a newbie is told to dye their hair blonde by Jane Geddes of WWE and chooses instead to do it red, and then Jane Geddes is like, oh, it looks great. Never. Never.
You remember how upset they were at Frankie Kazarian because he wouldn't cut his hair?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, that's just, again, and you know what, for the e-viewer, they're not going to know that. You know, the non-wrestling fan who stumbles across the show and just likes watching these types of shows, you know, they're not going to know that. So I guess it's new to them. And, you know, the casual fan, maybe they do buy into it. Maybe they wonder about it. So, they don't think about it enough where they're going to overanalyze it or anything. They'll just tune back in next week, hopefully, for WWE. And see what happens. And I guess it's just, you know, again, for most of the people listening to this show, they're probably going to be able to decipher what's real and what's not real.
Oh, yeah?
Am I underestimating the general public wrestling fan?
I don't know.
Yeah. Did you get any feedback on Vincent?
And what do you mean? What kind of feedback?
Well, what kind of feedback did you get? To the whole, you know, did anyone, you know, ask about the show or wonder what was real and what was incredibly K-fabulous?
I didn't have anybody asking questions like that. Most of the people that I heard from within wrestling were not fans of the show. There were some that were fans. A lot of wrestling fans on our website were big fans of the show, although it's hard to tell because, you know, it's our board, so it's hard to tell who's being serious and who's not. But a lot of wives apparently enjoyed watching the show, which I can understand since my wife watches E, and it's your typical E show. But no, the feedback I got was just kind of about various things. Most of the feedback I got actually was about the whole Vincent thing. And strangely enough, you know, the word I got, I mean, it was less about, man, this idiot Vincent, although there was a little bit of that, but it was more about they were upset at Cameron. Like, why did she bring him backstage? Why did, you know, the whole situation reflected more poorly on Cameron than it did on Vincent, for whatever that's worth. I just think because Cameron, if anybody on this show was a complete train wreck, it was Cameron, Ariane. She was the train wreck to end all train wrecks on this show. And this show reflects very poorly on her.
And with the amount of women that they have, and they have hinted on pulling Naomi out, you know, and having her be, which, you know, would be great because, again, she is pretty. She's incredibly athletic. You know, she can actually work a little bit in the ring where Cameron can't. You know, they do. With what she's done, she is one, you know, foot in the grave as far as something happening where they just flat don't need her because, no offense to her, they just don't actually need her. And they have women in Florida right now, and they have other people that they can get to do a role like that. So, yeah, it's, you know, with how she's perceived on the show, and of course she would say it's a lot of editing afterwards if there's any, you know, negativity that comes out of it, because that's always the thing that comes out
of
it.
A lot of editing. They edited in.
Everybody says after a reality show when they come off looking bad, it's always like, that's how they made me look. So she'll, of course, say that, but again, there's enough ammo with WWE right now where if she does screw up again, it would be quite easy to get rid of her.
Sometimes there is creative,
Vincent.
Often there is creative editing, actually, on reality shows, but sometimes it's not creative editing. Sometimes a person's just crazy. And maybe, yes, maybe they have focused on all the times she's crazy and not all the times that she's sweet. That is possible. But it's not like the crazy incidents didn't occur. You know what I mean? Maybe they just focused on them more than they should have, but I mean, she brought her boyfriend backstage and he flipped out and she cried. I mean, that happened. So
all up in Brodus's Kool-Aid.
That's right. Back in a moment, everybody. We got more Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here for 2 hours every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio. Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Check us out on the TuneIn Radio app on your smartphone. That's the TuneIn Radio app, the Sirius Satellite Radio app as well. Search Wrestling Observer or Sports Byline. And you can check us out every Sunday live, iHeart.com. iHeartRadio, the talk portal, iHeart.com. Live shows, archived shows, whole nine yards, 60 million subscribers. You can also check us out at WrestlingObserver.com, where we stream the show live at 3 o'clock, and immediately after the show, the replay is available for you. WrestlingObserver.com, also the place to go for all of the news and information in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. It is a free website with a subscribers area. And if you sign up for $10.99, not only do you get access to all of the radio shows that we do on a daily basis, but you can get a full access to our archive, which dates back to 2005. So long story short, if you love this radio show, if you love Wrestling Observer Live, you could hear wrestling and MMA audio every single solitary day, sometimes several shows per day, at WrestlingObserver.com as a subscriber. Tonight, Vinny and I are back with a brand new show. Last night, Dave Meltzer and I were up for 90 minutes talking all sorts of news and wrestling. We're up again after Raw tomorrow. Shows all the time. And as noted, you can get every single one of them, plus every one we've ever done, $10.99 a month. So head up there and check it out, WrestlingObserver.com. If you scroll down the right-hand side of the page, a listing of our latest free radio shows. Download them. And if you like what you hear, sign up. You can podcast the shows to your iPhone through iTunes, Downcast, whatever you use to capture your podcasts. You will never be without wrestling audio as a subscriber to WrestlingObserver.com. So if you like this show, check it out. I promise you, you'll love it. WrestlingObserver.com. Mike, Total Divas, I've got the lineup for the next two episodes. Are you prepared?
I'm ready.
Tonight, of course, is a Tango with Fandango. Eva plans to achieve the winning rank by creating a scheming plan. Bella's take time off to enjoy vacation with Brian and John. And Cameron and Naomi are horrified when they experience a wardrobe malfunction. Next week, Planet Funk is funked up. That's the title, everybody. Naomi and John Uso come face to face in the ring. JoJo ends up giving her boyfriend an ultimatum, and Nikki disagrees with Bree's decision to move to Phoenix. What drama!
I can't wait!
Naomi and John come face-to-face in the ring? You mean they have a fake match?
Possible.
What drama?
I don't... I'm more interested in the Funkadactyls.
I want to know what JoJo's ultimatum is to Justin Gabriel. Cut your hair? That looks awful? What
Possibly.
Is it? What is it?
Where do you buy those shiny tights? I'm tired of you outshining me.
Could be. And
Or does it keep with the theme of what's been going on? Does it keep with the theme of these people and their boyfriends? And is there some sort of drama over JoJo wants Justin Gabriel to propose to her?
Could be.
He's got to put a ring on it? Is this what Jimmy Uso was so upset about when talking to Naomi? Is that what it is?
Actually, I can tell you what the argument between... I'm sorry. I have confused my relationships. Let's just jump to episode 4.
I thought you were going to dish the dirt, bro.
Well, I thought it was too, but I was confused. I'll explain it. Episode 4, August 18th. Which, by the way... This will come on the air immediately after WWE SummerSlam. You ready? It's called The Fat Twin. Yeah. Nikki.
Fat Twin.
Nikki becomes self-conscious about her weight.
Oh my God.
Ariane considers getting breast implants. And Natalia tells her fiance, who would be Tyson Kidd, that she would like more romance.
They did tease that at the end of this week's show.
You're going to get it in 2 weeks.
That's so good. I've been waiting for this. You know, she says that she comes home and Tyson will give her noogies instead of Well, there's a lot of things you can input there, but apparently it's lovin'. So I'm glad you let me know this. And you know what? I'm feeling for Natalia in the lead up to her wedding now. You know what? She is a very sympathetic person on the show. And I can't believe they ripped away WrestleMania like that from her. It's just amazing because I didn't even think she was supposed to be at WrestleMania. So I did certainly learn something.
Yeah, she wants more of that sweet lovin' from TJ Wilson. I wonder if they'll call him TJ or I bet they call him TJ. I'll bet you anything. That's my real name, fake name prediction.
What does she calls him Teej?
Teej?
Teej.
Teejee?
Is Harry Smith in the background of any of these wedding scenes?
Oh, yeah. Harry Smith is on the show.
Good.
Yeah.
Did they call him D.H. Smith?
I'll bet they call him Harry. You know what's funny in wrestling? I think most people are aware of this, but if you're not, let me explain this to you. In wrestling, Total Divas is actually exactly like real life in that there are certain people who you always refer to them by their real name. There are other people that you always refer to by their stage name for whatever reason. And there are some people, as Lance Storm has talked about, like William Regal, like he often wants to refer to him as Steve for Steve Regal. Which is a fake name, but not his current fake name. His old fake name. It's very strange.
They don't call him Darren?
I think Triple H is now referred to as Paul. Because he's Paul Levesque, of course. But for a long time, like everybody referred to him as Hunter. Like, if you remember Wrestling with Shadows, when Bret Hart's wife cuts a promo on him backstage after the Montreal Screwjob, she's calling him Hunter, 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 Hunter. And at the time, there were wrestling fans who were like, aha, fake, because she's referring to him by his stage name. But no, in fact, at the time, everybody called him Hunter. It's changed now, but yeah, I think Harry is a guy that they call Harry. I'm almost certain that the TJ is what everybody calls Tyson Kidd. And I don't know, but people I know who know Daniel Bryan usually refer to him as just Danielson. So, yeah, it's just that's the way wrestling goes. There's no rule. It's just kind of whatever someone gets stuck with is their name, I guess. So anyway.
Yeah, that's how it always sounds like from the older guys talking, because, you know, people have known Ole Anderson for 40, 50 years, and nobody calls him Alan. It's Ole.
Yeah. It's kind of the way things work. So the show is tonight, everybody. It is on E, 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern, and presumably Pacific. For some reason, I don't get E in HD. I don't even know why. It's kind of infuriating. But that is tonight, so check it out. And no replay after Raw. So if you're waiting to watch it after Raw tomorrow, you can't. So, yeah, get ready for tonight. All right, what else do we got here? Are we out of news? Of course not. Real versus fake, Mike. The Randy Orton attack by a fan in South Africa.
It, you know, I guess it's real, although, call me crazy, it just seems so remarkably, incredibly put on. It's not even funny, but I guess apparently it does happen to be true, although, if I'm going to quit my job, and I happen to be a trained professional wrestler, I'm going to quit my job earlier on in the week and buy a ticket and spend money and then go and hop the rail. And if I'm going to hit a guy in the nuts just because I'm crazy or I want a job or whatever it is, I'm not going to use a worked shot to the balls Ric Flair style. I think I would just punch a guy, you know, right there. I mean, that's what makes this so absolutely unbelievable, the fact that he wasn't charged with a hard crime right away or anything like that. It just seemed very convenient. And again, not that WWE wouldn't try, I don't think, to ever pull an angle like that in the United States, but maybe they could get away with something like that. And again, they make TMZ and things like that, so that's why I was so incredibly cynical with it right off the bat. But if it happens to be true, which I guess people are saying it is, it just makes it even more bizarre from the perspective of the dumbass that ran in and did this.
The guy's name was Chepo Sakabi, and he is, in fact, an indie wrestler. They were in South Africa, Cape Town. Randy had had a match with Biggie Langston. After the match, he was posing on the turnbuckles, and some fan, Chepo Sakabi, hit the ring, and he actually looked remarkably like Dean Ambrose in the video. He gave Orton a low blow, Ric Flair style. Orton sold it, and then jumped up. Security grabbed the guy. Orton gave him a kick to the face on the way out. The guy was later arrested, forced to pay, get this, everyone, a $50 fine. Otherwise, he would spend 30 days in jail. I presume he paid the fine. And he claimed that he had, in fact, quit his job, and his goal was to be a WWE, or actually, I guess, any pro wrestling superstar. And he wanted to make a name for himself by attacking a guy who he claimed he really didn't like in Randy Orton. Now, when this happened, I immediately thought that this was complete BS, because the guy hit the ring like a wrestler. He built it up like a wrestler. He delivered the low blow like a wrestler. He responded afterwards like a wrestler.
No security.
It turns out he's a wrestler. No security. The video's on WWE.com. A story's on WWE.com. And
which
I'd been told.
Which they don't usually do.
What was that?
Which they don't usually do.
No, absolutely not. And I had been told that WWE had been wanting to do some sort of angle where they would fool TMZ. And this, of course, showed up on TMZ. And funny enough, if it turns out that this was real, TMZ, when covering it on their television show, actually 95% of the people figured it must be fake. So that's ironic. But I was very skeptical. But there were wrestlers on the tour who insisted that this was real. And, you know, maybe they're trying to fool the boys. I don't know. But the wrestlers themselves were like, yeah, crazy dude jumped out of the crowd and low-blowed Orton. It was not part of the show. This was real. And so I just have to presume that it was real. You know, maybe it is something that they're just trying to fool everybody. I mean, I don't know. I mean, the $50 fine, I mean, I'm sure the guy was...
You lay out the story like you just did. I think for anybody casually, really anybody listening, it's like, so he probably got $100 and got paid a $50 fine, and there you go. Because it sounds so remarkably set up that, you know, when the real world really is faker than wrestling, especially like this, I mean, just it's very difficult to believe that this isn't a put on. And again, it's because of the way he did it. I mean, we've seen violent attacks on athletes and things like that, and that's what people are, in a lot of ways, trained, you know, with, like, the Celis stabbing and guys running on the field and stuff like that. Plus, for old wrestling fans, remember when guys used to run in the ring, the poundings that they would get from wrestlers and from security and from the referee, and that didn't happen, so...
Well, he got kind of a pounding. He got punched in the eye, kicked in the eye.
Well, with WrestleMania back in New Orleans next year, Bill Watts is probably going to be backstage. Hopefully... Cameron makes it long enough so Bill Watts can meet Vincent and they can have a one-on-one, because I would love to see that for a reality show.
Hey, Brodus Clay better win that fight. He's out of here.
The guy who was Snoop Dogg's bodyguard, I'm going with him.
All right. Well, we don't know anything about Vincent's background. We'll discuss this after the break, everybody. Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and, of course, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. As noted in the previous segment, we know nothing about Vincent's background, Mike. He could be a big-time mixed martial arts superstar.
That's true. You know what? That's
maybe not
true.
Big-time.
Maybe it all comes out that Eve has got something to do with this, being married to a Gracie and being involved in that sort of stuff, and she's been locked down and married, and somehow she plays an evil hand in everything with people. She's trying to get everyone to get married so, you know, they can be trapped like she is. I have no idea. I just, that you know what, I could think of some better things, but I'm not going to waste my mind on it.
I'm trying to find Vincent's last name, but I'm not having much success. I Googled Ariani Vincent WWE, and no last name is coming up. So I need to find a last name.
If he had a crappy indie wrestling name, would he be Vinny the Brow?
It could be. Could be. If I get his last name, I can find out if he's got an MMA background or something like that. And then we can find out if he could, in fact... Man, look at this. We're right back to the 80s. Who would win in a real fight between Vincent and Brodus Clay?
And everybody does have to remember, Brodus was Snoop Dogg's one of his bodyguards.
But he was like a big dude. There were probably about 9 of them. They all just jumped on any hoodlums. Doesn't mean he can fight. You know this, Mike.
True.
Come on now.
Again, I don't know about Vincent there being all fired up. And he didn't actually do anything, although, and he was talked down by Jimmy Uso.
I did like that he wanted Brodus, but he wanted his girlfriend to go bring Brodus to him.
Exactly.
Doesn't seem like he was that committed to this. I need to find out Vincent's last name. That's going to be my goal, to find out if Vincent has got a shoot background in which he has the chance to take out Brodus Clay. My guess would be that most of the wrestlers would side with Brodus in this particular battle, but you never know. Could be building to something at SummerSlam. All right, everybody, we're going to head to a break. When we come back, hour two of Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, joined as we are every week by Mike Sempervivi of the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare up at WrestlingObserver.com. 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, every Sunday, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio. Try Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208. We also stream live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com, as well as iHeart.com, iHeartRadio. Check us out there and the TuneIn Radio app on your smartphone. That's the TuneIn Radio app, as well as the Sirius Satellite Radio app. And I guarantee there's a million different places I haven't even mentioned yet. This is the most listened to wrestling radio show in the world. We spent much of the first hour, I can't even believe it, talking WWE Total Divas. The next episode is tonight, so set your DVRs for that. We're also going to be talking a lot of news, not the least of which was last night's UFC show in Brazil, where in the main event, Jose Aldo beat the Korean Zombie. My wife is a huge Zombie fan. She was very sad last night. And Mike, very quickly, what did you think of the Zombie's performance against Aldo?
I don't know how long you could go with a separated shoulder. I probably wouldn't be able to go for so long, especially when the other guy I'm facing breaks his foot kicking on it. But, Jose Aldo's awesome. He's absolutely awesome. And the Zombie, again, Zombie's been in very few bad fights. They've all been pretty goddamn good. And him going out there and, again, putting everything he could into it, again, it's not like it wants to see a rematch or anything like that, because it was one-sided enough for Aldo. But with that said, it shows you why Korean Zombie is there and why he's so good. And him being on pay-per-views and on TV is having, a nice feather. I know a lot of people don't like the smaller-weighted guys, and they don't get big pay-per-view numbers, and they don't draw incredibly well on TV or anything like that. But as an assistance on cards, you're always going to get an exciting fight out of them. So I was impressed.
All right, everybody, we're going to head to a break. We'll talk more about UFC in Brazil when we come back. The most important stories on the show, and then we've got a lot of wrestling and MMA news to get into tonight, so don't touch that dial. You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio, Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. You can also check us out on the TuneIn Radio app on your smartphone, TuneIn Radio, as well as the Sirius Satellite Radio app and iHeart.com. The iHeartRadio Talk Portal, live and archived shows up there at iHeart.com. 60 million subscribers, the most listened to wrestling radio show in the world, Wrestling Observer Live. We've got a lot of news to get into. Last night was UFC 163 from Brazil. Jose Aldo beat the Korean Zombie in the main event after a poor Zombie separated his shoulder. A lot of injuries on the show last night, including a broken foot, he believes. Jose Aldo, the very first leg kick he threw, kicked the dude right in the knee, broke his own foot. Oops! So he still managed to fight four rounds, and I never even noticed, except for the lack of leg kicks, that he hurt himself. And Ian McCall broke his hand in beating Ilarte Santos via decision. And I guess the most questionable note on the show was Phil Davis's decision victory over Lyoto Machida. How did you score that fight, Mike?
I just kind of briefly watched it because I was so G1 locked down, so I only saw a little bit of it. But, trying to keep up with it, yeah, it certainly seemed like some of the rounds, I guess, were close, but they seemed to universally be put into the camp of Machida, the first two rounds especially. So it did surprise me when I heard Davis got the win. I like Phil Davis. I actually wanted to pick him in the fight. I just, liking a guy isn't a reason to actually pick them, and I figured Lyoto would be able to stand out of there from the outside, be able to hold off Davis enough because of his stance and the way that he fights. To hold off Davis trying to take the fight shooting in and taking him to the ground where he's going to be obviously his most successful. But, you could tell me, better. It just seemed like the first round that people thought on the judges' scorecards went to Davis. That wasn't the case at all. That was Machida's round.
The fight itself, I think they're probably, I don't know for sure, but I would guess they're probably going to be doing a rematch. Machida wants a rematch. Dana White thought Lyoto Machida won. The company is going forward as if it's a loss for Phil Davis. So they don't expect Phil Davis to be getting a title shot based on this fight. There are arguments that, this fight wasn't that exciting. Do you really want to do a rematch of a fight that's not going to be all that exciting? And my argument is whoever Lyoto Machida faces next, probably not going to be all that exciting. So you may as well do a rematch and figure this out. But that was a semi-main event on the show. And I don't think the show's going to do a good number. I could be wrong. I expect it probably to do the least number of pay-per-view buys of 2013. I know that small sample size, obviously, but not a single one of my friends came over for this show. And on top of that, I called friends to see if anybody was getting the show, and not a single one of them was getting the show, nor were any of them interested in the show. And I cannot remember the last time I could not find anybody who wanted to buy it at their own home or come over and watch it for free at my house. So that's what you get when you got Jose Aldo and the Korean Zombie. I think people like the Zombie, but when you look at the lineup for the show, the idea that you're going to pay $54 to see this when you have all of this MMA on television for free, I mean, if this does 250,000 buys, they should throw a gigantic party. I don't expect it to happen. Stranger things have occurred. But there's a lot of MMA coming up, everybody. There's the debut on FS1, pay-per-views coming up. There's just so much MMA. We just had a show in Seattle for free on Fox last week. Pay-per-views. It's at a point now where people pick and choose. And this, I believe, was one that they chose to not purchase. But
That's okay. Honestly, it really, really is. I mean, when you're running as many pay-per-views as you do, they're not all going to be home runs. And I think, it's like a Mexican boxing themed show where they do, all Mexican fighters or all Puerto Rican fighters or Mexicans versus Filipinos or something like that where, you're going to have a 100,000 buy pay-per-view. I guess you're always going to know where your baseline is as far as the hardest of hardcore fans because they're going to buy it as well. And, there's people out there that, they have no problem paying to watch Jose Aldo. They like him that much. It's not a lot, the same amount that there is for GSP or you name the guys, but it's okay. It's not like it's a sky is falling sort of thing or anything like that. As long as they don't have any expectations for these shows, doing huge numbers or anything like that. When you're running so many and you have so much programming on, it's not like it's the worst thing in the world to have a show like this where, it's for the hardcores and it's only going to get X amount, but it's sandwiched in between a whole bunch of other stuff that you know is going to do well. So I just kind of take it for what it is and, blow it off like that. Obviously, you don't want it to be less than 100,000, but with that said, if it's 110,000, 125,000, they should be, because of what it is and how it's been sandwiched in, more than satisfied with that.
Tonight, we in fact do have a pay-per-view. The Saturday Night Special for Ohio Valley Wrestling took place last night, and Ohio Valley Old School is also going to be taking place. It is live today at the Davis Arena and will be available on demand as well. And Mike, are you going to get a chance to check out this program?
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to do it tonight because obviously doing the show with Dave Meltzer later on, which is going to be up for subscribers on the website, as well as, again, more New Japan wrestling that's going to be taking place, as well as Total Divas. I hope to at least see it within the next couple of days. You know, I heard Danny Davis on the show with you this week, and, you know, I remember the heyday, as you do, of Ohio Valley, you know, in 2004, 2005, especially, where they just were loaded up. They had tons of guys there, and they obviously all, for the most part, moved on to be on WWE programming in some form or another. And obviously all the stuff they've had going on with TNA and stuff like that, I have had a chance to see it, but it'll be nice that they have it on iPay-per-view because, you know, Danny Davis and Rip Rogers and everybody else that are there, you know, for $10, I know I'm going to get however much it is. I know I'm going to get my money's worth out of it. And, you know, the way he was hyping it up, there's going to be some surprises and things like that on there tonight. I know Nick Dinsmore and Rob Conway are coming back for the show, which may not be all that exciting to some people out there. But if you were watching Ohio Valley, you know, quote unquote, back in the day when the, you know, Doug and Danny Basham were there, you know, feuding against each other, and John Cena and Batista and all of the guys that went through there, you know, Conway and Dinsmore were, you know, Dinsmore doing like a Mr. Wrestling role and Rob Conway being down there, they looked really good. And there was a reason that people were so high on both of those guys. Obviously Dinsmore came up as Eugene because they just could not figure out what to do with a guy who looked like that other than to give him that gimmick. But, you know, again, it's going to be nice to see, and it's nice to be able to support Ohio Valley because, again, they don't, you know, I'm not in Ohio, so I can't go to the Saturday night shows. I know they still do relatively big shows every once in a while, but, you know, for the as cheap as the ticket prices are, you know, they don't make a ton off of that stuff. So just getting a chance to support them in this way is actually, you know, it does make me happy to do.
If you're interested in checking out the show, there is a link up on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com right now. Head over to WrestlingObserver.com and click on How to Purchase and View Ohio Valley Saturday Night Special for just $9.99. Can make it easier to find. So head up there and check that out. If this show does well, video on demand, they're going to do the old school show, which is taking place tonight at the Davis Arena. They will put that up for video on demand as well. But you got to check this one out if you want to have the opportunity to check out the Sunday night show. And of course, if you were there live or you're in Louisville, you can check out tonight's show for just $5. That's right. Ohio Valley Old School, just $5 if you attend live. All right, Mike, I know that we only have a limited amount of time. I'll give you time in the next segment as well, but start taking us through the G1 tournament so far.
Yeah, the 23rd annual New Japan G1 Climax series that they have going on. Again, it's their annual tournament that they have every year. They break it up into two blocks with a bunch of wrestlers in each block, and they all face off against each other. And at the end, the winner of Block A faces off against the winner of Block B. And, you know, unlike King of the Ring or a lot of other, you know, events that have taken place that people would be familiar with, this is a tournament that's loaded up with all stars. You know, occasionally it would be a handful of guys who, you know, are just there to take losses. But this year, it really is a lineup packed on both sides with some huge stars. And New Japan decided to offer this these shows. There's 11 days or 10 days, I believe, and 9 matches or 9 cards that are going to be on them. They offered it on iPay-per-view, which they've been doing a lot this year. But
we'll talk about it after the break. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. I rudely cut off Mike before the break as I gave him a whole 1 minute before the break to talk about the G1. So, Mike, you got a whopping 12 minutes here. Let's get into this show, the series of shows.
I'm excited. Can't miss my timestamps when I get all excited talking about New Japan. But as I was saying, as we were going off there, they decided to offer the shows on iPay-per-view, which is no big deal. They've been doing that this year, and they've had a good measure of success with it as far as critical feedback goes, as well as being financially a boom to them in Japan. But instead of doing individual shows, they decided to offer up the entire package of 9 shows at a price of $150 US, which I think was a, again, I don't blame them for doing that. I thought that was a good idea.
I do. Let me jump in real quick. Let me tell you why this is such a terrible idea.
Well, here's the thing. It was good. If they would have offered today's show and next week's final as individual shows, it would have been fine.
They should have offered every single one as a separate show, and I'll tell you why. It's 2013, okay? There's no way that I'm watching all nine of the G1s. I just can't. Some people can, but the number of people that can watch all nine of these shows, you would I don't want to say you'd have to be unemployed, but if you've got a job and a family, it's going to be very difficult to watch all nine of these shows, especially if you order the ticket. It's not like if I ordered all nine G1 shows for $150, I would be able to watch them over the course of the next 3 months, okay? I got to watch them all before they're taken down, which I think is like a week from now or something like that. Maybe a week after the tournament ends. So your options, they don't give me the option of buying maybe night one and night three and then the finals or any combination. Instead, I got to buy all or nothing. And the problem with that is that By forcing fans to pay $150 or nothing, a lot of fans are going to choose nothing. And because it's 2013, these shows are already showing up for free on the internet. And that's the issue. I know this as someone who runs a website. If fans are fans, they are going to pay money for your product if it is within reason, even if there is the option for them to get it elsewhere for free because they want to support you. But when the option is $0 or $150, then fans are in fact going to pirate the show or get it for free elsewhere, which is what, believe me, and you know this, Mike, people are getting the shows for free. And these same people would have paid for the individual shows that they wanted to within reason, but $150 is not within reason. So I think that this was a gigantic mistake. I think if they would have offered the shows for like, I don't know, you know, they usually charge $25, but I know they did a show a while back that was cheaper. It was like $14 or something. What was the price for, I guess it was kind of like a B New Japan show. Do you remember the price?
I think it was a little bit cheaper, but I think more importantly, it's the dome show and shows that are quote unquote the bigger shows are actually $35 or $40, I think it is.
Okay, so let's just say that you're a fan and you've got a limited budget, all right? And you can't afford to spend $150, but you'll spend a lot less for an individual show. If you hear that say, oh my God, night three was the best G1 show I've ever seen, or you know, just an awesome show or whatever. If it's only $20, you'll go up and you'll buy it for $20. But if you hear, my God, you've got to see night three, and it's like, okay, well, that means I either pay $150 or, well, I guess I can get it here and not pay for it. That's what people, I'm not going to say that's what people are going to do. That's what people are doing.
I don't disagree with that. And I think, look, as far as the concept of selling it, yeah, they'll have to adjust price, but selling it as a unit, to me, that didn't bother me. The fact that all of the shows aren't, you know, available a la carte, that doesn't even bother me because you should give me. But the fact that the two major shows that they're going to have, which were 8-4, which was today, the show on Sunday, and next week's final, you could have charged Tokyo Dome pricing for that at $35 a piece. Have it in a, you know, do it that way, because people would pay the $70, you know, broken up over 2 weeks, they'll pay $35 and $35, you know, quicker than they're going to spend $150, but still, you've made $70 off of that then that goes in your pocket, as opposed to nothing, because you're right, that's what people are doing, and they only have to wait a little bit before it shows up on YouTube or Daily Motion or any of those things. You know, it's been showing up, I guess, you know, if the show takes place in the morning Eastern time by at least, you know, midnight Eastern, they tend to be up there. So yeah, I know people are doing that, but as far as,
and it's a bigger deal with New Japan, because there are a lot of people, a lot of pay-per-view shows will end up online, but especially with mixed martial arts and to a lesser extent probably WWE, but fans, a lot of fans want to watch a show live. And with New Japan, in order to watch it live, you've got to stay up all night long. And so a lot of fans don't care about waiting for the next day because they probably would have waited until the next day anyway. And the next day, the show is available for them for free if they look around.
Well, yeah, I don't know how many people are even watching them live, though, because of when they're on, obviously.
Exactly.
The time difference, I mean, England and Ireland are probably watching it live, but most other people are not. You know, and you're exactly right. I don't think you're right in that they should have offered every show a la carte, but they should have offered two of them at an increased price.
Yeah, but you don't know what's going to be a great show and what's not going to be a great show.
Yes, you do. Because
sometimes a show ends up like shockingly good, you know? Sometimes a show ends up shocking, or there's a match, the Tanahashi Ishii match. Everybody's raving about that match. Okay, so in order for me to see that match, you know, as a fan, I either got to spend $150 or I go online and see if I can find it for free. Whereas I could have just bought it for $25.
I actually don't mind the package thing. They are obviously the price was
the package is great.
Idiotic. The package. The price on it, though, even when you say, well, it's only $17 a show, it's still dropping $150 and not really knowing your clientele outside of Japan on who's going to buy it. Because, again, I don't. If someone with a family and someone with a job and someone with a lot of responsibilities, it has been hell watching, trying to catch up on these shows. And I know going into next week, I'm not going to be able to do that. You know, I'm going to have to miss shows, which again, that bothers me, in the fact that I've spent $150. But again, the package was great. I don't think you have to go a la carte because you want to force people into paying for those shows. And being, you know, to me, I understand what you're saying. In a perfect world, they would be all a la carte. But from a business point of view, making people buy all of them isn't a bad idea. But when you have shows like today, this Sunday, and the final, which you know have been built, and you know going in are going to be big shows. That's why they talked about doing the show today on iPay-Per-View. And then they decided not to. I think that was a mistake. You knew the show was going to be big. It was a fantastic show. It's one of the best of the year, if not, well, I guess some people touting it as one of the best of all time, which, again, would make that now two this year for New Japan. But, you know, again, to put a bigger price on those shows and offer them a la carte, I think that would have made more sense and made more money.
But, Mike, here's my issue with the thing. I think the idea of a package where you can get the entire thing at $17 a show is great, okay? If I had the time, that's what I would do to save the money. But for a fan who only wants to see a couple of the shows, I think that all of them should be available a la carte in case there's a match you really want to see. Because I know personally, I like New Japan and I want to support them. So my first choice, and granted, not every fan is going to do this, but many fans will. If you're really a fan of something, a lot of fans will do this. My first choice will be, I'm going to go try to buy this show. And the only way I would look for it online is if it were not possible for me to buy the show. And in the case of the show with Ishii and Tanahashi, that's what a lot of fans are doing. They can't just buy that show, so therefore they went and they got it for free, and New Japan got $0 off of it. Now, the package that you're talking about, that would be awesome if I could go up right now and pay $150 and I would have the rest of my life to watch all of those shows. But those shows are only available until August 19th. So next week when you've got a busy week, Mike, if you don't have time to watch all of those shows, guess what? You better make time to watch those shows because on August 19th, which is not this Monday, but two Mondays from now, they're gone forever. You can't watch them anymore. Which I think is a huge mistake.
Oh, yeah. That's where Gabe and WWN Live, how they do that. You get, again, they run out as well, too, but you get significantly more time. And again, I don't know if that's a Ustream thing or New Japan. I don't know how that works. But that's something that does need to change. The fact that, you know, but again, and I have to go back and look, and I'll do that, you know, after we go to break here, because I don't know which shows are still available and which shows aren't. As far as I guess I can find out, because I bought the other pay-per-views, I thought when I, you know, logged in one of these last times, there were still a couple shows still up there that were supposedly going to run out.
Well, it's possible. I don't know. I just know on the thing here, it says they're available until August 19th at 11:59 p.m.
I feel sorry for people that, actually, you know what? I don't feel sorry for people because you can't see them on YouTube. But those people who don't want to see them on YouTube or spend $150, I do feel sorry for you, because if you get a chance to watch today's show, and forget about Ishii and Tanahashi, because that was awesome, Ishii and Katsuyori Shibata today.
Men excited
on men. This was a really good show. Naito and Minoru Suzuki, Prince Devin, Hiroshi Tanahashi, and Togi Makabe against Okada, which, you know, was the main event, or I'm sorry, not the main event, Shinsuke Nakamura and Kota Ibushi, which was, you know, fantastic as well, and that was the main event, and still probably the best match on it was Ishii and Shibata, and Tomohiro Ishii. Obviously, we talked about Minoru Suzuki on the show and how good of a year he's having and how great he is. Tomohiro Ishii wrestles in a style that you would hate, because it's too many fists to the face, it's too many kicks to the head, it's too much, you know, too many elbows to the chin and that sort of thing. But again, in small doses, and seeing him in this tournament, he's actually been very exciting, and the fans have absolutely loved him. So, again, you know, as far as, you know, money aside, when it comes to these shows, I'll say this. If you spend—
actually, hold on. Hold that for after the break. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline, Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday for 2 hours, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. You can also check us out on the TuneIn Radio app on your smartphone. That is the TuneIn Radio app, as well as iHeartRadio, iHeart.com, iHeartRadio, 60 million subscribers, search Sports Byline or Wrestling Observer. Check out the show live and check out replays. And the Sirius Satellite Radio app is very helpful as well. And for the latest news and info in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, WrestlingObserver.com is the place to go. Free website, although we do have a subscription area. $10.99 gives you full access to tens of thousands of hours of audio. We have so much audio on the website, it's not even funny. Every radio show we've ever done dating back to 2005 is available on the show. Do the math. Between 10 and 15 new radio shows every single week, times 52 weeks, times 8 years. That is how much audio is available on the website. We do new shows every single day. Going to have another new one tonight. Reviewing Total Divas and some New Japan, actually, with my buddy Vinny. Last night, Dave Meltzer and I talking UFC, all of the rest of the news for 90 minutes. Tomorrow will be up after Raw. So much audio on the site. You can get it all as a subscriber. $10.99. No extra added fees. Nothing. Try it out for a month. If you like what you hear, sign up for a long-term deal, save some money, or you can never sign up again, and no hard feelings. But I think you should give it a shot. If you like Wrestling Observer Live, I guarantee you will love a subscription to WrestlingObserver.com. That's not even counting the additional stuff we've got: Wrestling Observer newsletters, archived issues from the 90s, Figure Four Weekly. There's so much stuff up there for subscribers. So give it a shot. Try it. It's $10.99. A lot cheaper than all 9 shows of the G1 tournament. Try it for a month, and if you like what you hear, sign up long-term and become a part of the Figure Four Empire. And Mike, we were talking the G1 tournament. I cut you off before the break, so now's your chance to continue on.
Again, 2 time cue errors in 1 show. Just, you know, I haven't had any in a while, so good. Wanted to get them out of the way here. Again, for $17 a show is what this basically breaks down to, $16.67 if you decide to pay the $150. If you look at it from that perspective of you're paying $17 a show, you are getting more than your money's worth, because these shows don't actually have any filler on them. Every match that takes place on these shows is for, you know, the purposes of moving on this G1 Climax league that they have. And the matches in Block A, where it came to the amount of big names in there, like Hiroshi Tanahashi and Minoru Suzuki and Yuji Nagata and Kazuchika Okada, Prince Devitt as well, can't forget about him. I mean, there have been great matches night after night, and they've done a great job. Because, again, you have all these matches on there, and they're not, even though they're main event stars, the matches aren't built in main event style. They're built like you would build a traditional wrestling card from the opening up, getting people excited with a guy by the name of Kota Ibushi, who has won Best Flyer in the Observer Awards over the last couple of years. I'm not as big of a fan of him as a lot of people are. I think there's, you know, his psychology of selling and sometimes when he does moves, it's completely asinine and ridiculous to me. With that said, people love him and love to watch him, so who am I to say anything about that? And you know, he opens up the show against a guy, and he's flying around, and it's exciting. And then they kind of build the card from there, depending, you know, no matter who it is that's wrestling, they build the card to build up to a crescendo, and they've done a great job in doing that. A hot match before intermission to send people off happy, you know, building them back out of intermission and building up into the main events, which, again, all of these shows have been incredibly, incredibly good. And New Japan this year, if there's a better promotion out there, actually there's not a better promotion out there, you know, New Japan Pro Wrestling, the way it's going, should win promotion of the year over UFC and WWE. No, they're not making the money that those guys are. And when it, yeah, I understand people who vote that way because it's a business. That's what it comes down to a lot of the time. But artistically, financially, on a much smaller scale, and the whole nine yards, they have had a hell of a year. And again, this faux pas with the offering up all nine shows for $150 aside, as far as, you know, getting your worth out of it, it's really been fantastic. And again, this show that took place today, again, especially with Tomohiro Ishii and Katsuyori Shibata, as well as Nakamura and Kota Ibushi, and Prince Devitt and Hiroshi Tanahashi, they were all, I mean, somebody can probably say all of them are match of year candidates. And again, there's just three more on top of an incredible pile that New Japan already has this year. No matter your style of wrestling that you like, if you like comedy, they've done that incredibly well. If you like, you know, hardcore strong style with guys beating on each other, they've had that. If you like pure pro wrestling, they've had that too. It's been a great mix of everything this year, and these shows have been fantastic. Again, next week I'm not going to be able to see, you know, all of them as they happen. I'm going to have to cherry pick and hear what's good and go back and watch those matches leading into the weekend, but I'll say this, I'm not upset as a fan that I did spend $150, even though it's still, I couldn't believe it when I was actually clicking on and doing it that I was going to pay, you know, $150 for wrestling pay-per-views. And I will be interested to see that, you know, the numbers that come out after this, if we actually get them, on how many people actually jumped on this.
All right, a couple of other news notes as we close out the show today. Tito Ortiz signed with Bellator Fighting Championships, made an appearance on Impact Wrestling as well. This had been, actually, Tito had teased it, believe it or not, and it still caught people off guard. He'll be facing Quentin Jackson November 2nd, first ever Bellator pay-per-view. And Mike, I guess the big question, is Tito versus Rampage for Bellator going to do more, Todd's odds here, more or fewer buys than Jose Aldo and the Korean Zombie?
I would say fewer buys. It's, you know, free Eddie Alvarez, folks. And I understand why they're doing it. I mean, I do. It's the only two names that I guess that they think are because of Tito Ortiz's name and who, you know, Rampage's name, that they're just going to try to build something off that. But unless, again, I love Ben Askren. Everybody that likes fighting seems to love Ben Askren. Fans love to, I think they love to watch him too, even though they love to boo him. He's just so good at what he does. And I don't think it's go away heat or boring heat or anything like that. And they have guys, Mighty Moe. They're all going to have to be on this pay-per-view. You have to sacrifice everything around it to throw everybody on here, I think, to really, you know, have this as you're coming out and get the support and the synergy, you know, from Viacom. And I don't know if they're going to do it. Again, it's hard for me to see this thing cracking 100,000 because of the ratings the show gets and the whole nine yards and the fact that fight fans, it's the same way as talk about New Japan too. I mean, after a while, you know, probably sooner rather than later, people won't have to pay for this and they'll end up picking it up along the way. And again, what's the urge to spend $50 for this show? And even that, even if they load up everything they possibly could on it, it's still, I would buy it. But with that said, I don't think the average person is. And again, some of this is going to be with the marketing and how this thing's pushed and everything else. I just, you know, just off of gut alone, how do you think this thing is going to do, you know, more than 80,000 buys?
I needed an attorney to discuss this with, and Mike, you and I both are not. But the Eddie Alvarez, since you mentioned him, I just want to briefly note that the crux of this is whether or not he wanted to go to UFC. UFC made him an offer. Bellator's claim they matched the offer. Eddie Alvarez claims, no, this was not a real match. Part of this rests on pay-per-view points, where he was going to get X number of dollars per pay-per-view buy from UFC, and Bellator is claiming, well, there's no guarantee the show would do 1 million buys, there's no guarantee it would even do 200,000 buys, there's no guarantee that if we ran a pay-per-view we couldn't do this number of buys. What happens if this show does 80,000 buys? Will that completely kill their Eddie Alvarez court case and he'll just be able to walk to UFC?
Yeah, I don't know the exact breakdowns of things like that, but if I'm UFC side, I'm certainly, you know, I'm arguing that, and you can't just throw on a pay-per-view. I mean, Tito Ortiz is known for what he is, and look at his age, and look at the injuries, look at the fact that Rampage and he are 1-9 in their last 10 fights. You throw all that in, and I don't know, like, legally where you put the wording in that stuff to try to make it a part of. They're not on our level. You can't, you know, network FS1 launching and being on Fox Sports during football season and all that sort of stuff. What does Bellator have to match that? Because you say we're on even terms. You say Spike is the same thing as Fox. But what about all this other, you know, auxiliary stuff on the sides? And again, I just, not being a lawyer, not being, you know, not being able to answer that, I don't know how you put that into the wording. But if I'm UFC, obviously you do something like that because it's true.
Now, the Impact deal, Tito Ortiz debuted on Impact, Rampage is on Impact, and neither can wrestle, but they're apparently in the main event angle. So I don't know where this is going to lead. Rampage is apparently going to be in a wrestling match in a couple of weeks. A five-on-five match where the loser has to leave Impact Wrestling forever. My initial thought was that, you know, Tito would cost Rampage the match, and that would set up their actual real-life fight. But the idea that Rampage is never coming back to TNA, I realize I shouldn't take these stipulations seriously, but that seems to rule that out. How do you do a main event angle with two guys that have no wrestling training?
I would rely heavily on Kurt Angle, although
you
I don't
can't.
Think...
Kurt Angle's exactly. In rehab.
And that's, you know, so when you take him out of the equation, which obviously happened with that DWI here in the last couple of days, yeah, I don't know. You protect the hell out of him. Maybe at the beginning you have Tito Ortiz, and say it's if you're going to do aces and eights, you have Nux on the other side. They brawl to start up. They both get counted out, something like that. Okay, he's out of the mix. Whichever one is the weakest one, even though it sucks and even though people won't be happy, maybe you have them play a role later on or something like that. You keep them at ringside. They're allowed to stay there and root on their guys, and that could lead to interference and nonsense. You could do that. With the other guy, you just have to go out there and hope the best. You put him in with, you know, whoever the best guy is on the other side, match up Quinton probably in Bully Ray, which would be the biggest thing anyway, and have them go at it. And Bully Ray, as long as Rampage is willing to be led, Bully Ray leads them all the way along, and all the guys bump for him and act like pros, and that's how you do it. That's the only way I think you really can do it, as far as being the most effective. Having both of them go out there and being the stars of the match, and tough to really believe.
Angle was pulled over again. I don't know if it was a DWI or DUI, but arrested, $2,000 bond. I can't even believe they let him out because he's had, someone said four, it may only be three, I'm not sure the exact number, but it's certainly been way more than one. So he has announced that he is checking himself into rehab. Full support of Dixie Carter and TNA, said it's a pivotal turning point time in his life. Ask for everyone's support. So it looks like he is going to be out of the picture for a while. At as you noted, not the best time.
Yeah, and it's sad, but this is something that probably, you know, maybe it should have been coming for a long time. You know, the quote unquote hacked Twitter account and all these incidents have happened, and his, you know, history and a lot of the stuff that he's, you know, talked about himself. It's you know, it's hard when you go a zillion miles an hour to hold up, and hopefully he truly holds up and is there and does what he has to do. Even if it doesn't have to be coming back to professional wrestling, because his health is more important and would rather see that happen.
All right, everybody, we are going to head to a break. When we come back, we've got a couple of other news notes to talk about. Don't forget, tonight it is episode number 2 of Total Divas, as well as the Ohio Valley Old School Show. And some of those shows are going to be up on video on demand. Links are on the front page, so check it out. Back in just a moment, everybody, you are listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Tomorrow night is Raw, everybody. And they're going to be putting together a SummerSlam match for the Shield. Will it involve the Big Show? We'll find out. The Big Show was scheduled to be in that match, but he was also scheduled to return a couple of weeks ago. And if you've been following carefully, he didn't. They announced he would return, and then he didn't. Because apparently they announced his return before he got clearance to return for a knee injury. So I know he was in the office being checked out last week, Friday actually. And so if he got clearance, he's going to be put into the match. And if not, I guess he'll go some other direction with the Shield. But hopefully it's a good direction, because the Shield has gotten very cold of late.
Yes, they have, for whatever reason that is. And, you know, it's been nice.
Feuding with the Usos.
Well, that's the thing. You know, I like the Usos, and they've had some really good stuff, but it's, you know.
I love the Usos, but they are not taken seriously by the fans, and when you put the Shield in with them, it takes the Shield down.
Exactly, and this is the group that killed The Undertaker and killed everybody else, and yeah, for whatever reason, it really is doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
So that is tomorrow. And as noted, no Total Divas after Raw. And we've got a couple of weeks left until SummerSlam to build a card here. There are only 3 official matches. John Cena and Daniel Bryan for the WWE title. Alberto Del Rio versus Christian for the world title. And CM Punk versus Brock Lesnar in a singles match. With this lineup thus far, Mike, do they really need anything else? Or is this a strong enough card to do a good number this summer?
You know, probably just Cena and Bryan alone. Because of how it's going to be built up. In a lot of ways, that would probably be enough for the wrestling fan, but I'm sure they're going to add some more belts.
Brock and Punk.
Well, that's right. Yeah, Brock and Punk alone right there, too. So all you have to do is add some candy from Hollywood, because you're going to be in L.A., and do that sort of thing, and then that's fine.
I love the poster, by the way, everybody, for the biggest show of the summer. It's Daniel Bryan, Kane, CM Punk, a couple of girls who actually I can't even recognize right now. AJ and Dolph Ziggler on a roller coaster. SummerSlam, everybody. All right, we're going to wrap it up. WrestlingObserver.com, everybody. Head over there for more. And we're going to be back next week with a brand new show. Thanks, Mike. Everybody at Sports Byline USA, Sirius Satellite Radio. We'll talk to you again next week. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.